Hi, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me here today on this week's podcast. This week, I'm going to be talking with you all about the power of positive energy. However, the last half of this discussion will focus on a thing called neuroplasticity and how positive energy and positive thinking affects that. So we'll dive into that at the second half of today's talk. But the reason I wanted to focus on positive energy this week was because I've had a number of people in my life, especially my work life, that have been feeling very down, disappointed over these past few months. And it really forced me to dive a little bit into what positive energy really is, how it works, and how it can actually affect us at the mental level. So let's go ahead and define what positive energy is. Simply put, positive energy is a group of positive attitudes, emotions, and thinking patterns. Generosity, kindness, empathy, optimism, and enthusiasm are all aspects of positive energy. Some people seem to come by positive energy very naturally, while others have to work really hard to cultivate a positive outlook. And I think, you know, in your life, I think it's easy to identify who those people are. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you will know whether or not, or you admit whether or not you naturally gravitate towards positive thoughts. And I would also say if you are surrounded by people or have friends who think very positively or think very negatively, usually that's a reflection sometimes of where you're at mentally and sometimes emotionally as well. A person's energy is a combination of their past, their mindset, their dominant thoughts, and their perception of the world. Sometimes that energy is easily felt, and other times it manifests subtly and subconsciously. Positive people are loving, they're happy, compassionate, kind, and supportive. You intuitively feel very safe, happy, and even relaxed around them, and their vibe is usually very welcoming. Negative people have a tendency, I would say, to be outright judgmental. They're unhappy. They may noticeably be complainers, and they like to put other people down. Hanging around these types of people, you intuitively might feel insecure, unhappy, and even tense around them, and their vibe is very off-putting. So how can we really learn how to identify positive energy? Have you ever heard of the old adage about falling in love? When you know, you know. The same thing goes for learning to recognize both positive and even negative energy. There is not really one single formula for identifying either forms of these energy. It's more about how you feel when you encounter someone. Because I really do believe that when you know, you'll know intuitively what type of energy a person, I would say, radiates. So let's talk about what some of the symptoms of negative energy is first in the body. Then we can move to talk a little bit more about positive energy. So one way to pinpoint negative energy is by taking a look at its effects. Because negative energy can affect both the body and the mind, I would say in pretty powerful ways. Some of the symptoms of negative energy in your life can include the following. Number one, restlessness, nervousness, having headaches, stomach aches, feeling very fatigued, confused at times, just exhausted, and maybe you'd even have or be subjected to, I would say, bouts of heavy breathing. How do you get rid of negative energy? Number one, do you really find yourself surrounded by negative energy with no end in sight? Are you surrounded by people who thrive off of that? Well, there are plenty of things that you can do to kind of alleviate, that negative energy. So here are a few ways to kind of get rid of that energy. Number one, of course, do what makes you happy. It's really important for people who, I would say, number one, work in very hostile or very negative environments, to take time out, sit down, and ask themselves, number one, what's important to them? What makes them happy? What kind of kindles the fire inside of them? What makes them feel good? And what makes them feel like they're doing, quote unquote, the right thing? Are they following their dreams? I work with some people who, you know, complain a lot. If something goes wrong very minutely, then they complain to everybody nonstop, and then everybody is complaining together, and then it feels very, very negative, and they're obviously very unhappy. And again, some people thrive off of that misery. However, I think it's important, you know, when you're in those types of environment, to detach. And if you're doing the type of work that you love, then great, then there has to be another way around it. But if you are in an environment that you hate and you're not being fulfilled by the work that you're doing, then it's time to sit down and address why it is that you're doing work that you don't like to do. And that's such a very disconnected question for me to say, because most people are doing work that they don't want to do just for the sake of maintaining a livelihood. I'm fully aware of that. However, I am also fully aware of the belief, and I hold the belief, that if there is a will, there is a way. And you owe it to yourself to sit down and ask yourself some very important questions in terms of what it is that you love to do, and not limit yourself in terms of being able to make that happen. Okay, so here's another way to get rid of negative energy in your life. Tune into your mind and tune into your body. If you have a gut feeling about something, then follow it. Your body is just one way for your higher self to communicate with you. So heed those red flags and don't try to second guess them or override them with your logic. Also, heed the green flags, the go flags, and don't second guess those either. Remember that your ego is always going to try to override your higher self. But remember that your higher self can see the bigger picture. So what happens if you go against this intuitive information, this intuitive wisdom? First and foremost, you're going to be very unhappy. You're going to be angry, frustrated, and super resentful of yourself for not listening to yourself. I also know that you'll be very regretful that you didn't take an opportunity that you could have, or gone in the direction that felt right in your heart, but your logical mind said, or your logical mind laid out all the reasons as to why these things can't happen, or all the reasons why this shouldn't happen exactly. Always go with your gut feelings and listen to the ones that feel bad. Listen to the feelings that feel bad. If they feel bad now, before you've acted on your decision, then you can be sure that they'll be even worse once you cross the line. The next thing that you can do to kind of rid yourself of that negative, toxic energy is, believe it or not, is to choose to see the good in people. Some people are honestly just simply awful to deal with, and there's no getting around that. However, you don't have to allow their negativity to impact you. And once your interaction with them is over, you don't have to carry their negativity. You definitely don't have to lower your vibration to their level. You can remain above all of their negativity. So instead of criticizing, blaming, or judging someone, make it a point to do something similar to first complimenting them on something, even if they hate you. I find killing somebody with kindness kind of works. Be compassionate to the inner pain that is causing them to behave badly. We have to remember that people are usually acting out from their wounds in some way, and it's not necessarily about you, so don't take it personally. The next thing you need to do is just let it go. Don't fester on it. Don't keep replaying the same thing that somebody said to you, the situation that occurred. It will just keep that negative energy very strong within your aura. Last thing you need to do is just control your energy. Try to maintain some sort of positivity by shifting your outlook. And again, by not replaying the words that were said to you, remembering that it's not about you 9 times out of 10. The next thing that you can do is know that you are in control of your own energy. You are influenced by the energy of others, but to what degree? That's actually entirely up to you. As Eleanor Roosevelt once said, No one can make you feel inferior without your consent, and I truly believe that. The same philosophy applies to those who seek to make you feel angry, sad, or worthless. It's your choice whether to treat someone's words as the gospel truth or really just as an opinion. Depression and anxiety can take hold very quickly, but you don't have to wallow in them, and I don't make light of depression or anxiety at all. However, I think it's important to mention or to have a discussion about wallowing. Wallowing begins with embodying an emotion by saying, I am. How many times have you said, I am hungry, or I am sad, I am tired, etc.? And saying that embodies that emotion. I've read from some people that it's better to experience the emotion, and you can do that by replacing, I am tired, I am sad, I am angry, what have you, by saying, I am feeling sad, I am feeling angry. But they say, don't ever specifically say, I am sad or I am angry. Do not embody those feelings. Experience them and let them go. So again, incorporating the word feeling, like I am feeling sad, experience the emotion and then release it instead of trying to wallow or instead of wallowing in that emotion. The next thing that you can do to kind of shake off a little bit of that negative energy is to talk about what can go right instead of what can actually go wrong. And I think, again, most people's first knee-jerk reaction to a situation where maybe you're anxious or the outcome is super important or even unpredictable is to jump to that worst case scenario solution as opposed to the best case scenario solution. It's important for you to focus on the future that you want to create. And this should be a future that's based on love, happiness, abundance, and even freedom. Avoid speaking of a future based on fear, pain, lack, and problems. This definitely takes a lot of effort on your part, on everybody's part, but you can retrain yourself to raise your vibration by deliberately focusing on the best case outcome. And again, this isn't necessarily limited to your future per se. This is also, in relation to, again, a very worrying situation. Look at the best case scenario. And again, this involves a lot of retraining the mind. And we'll talk about this towards the end of this topic. I think it's important to mention here that recently scientists have proven that persistent negative thoughts and emotions impact the body. Negative beliefs make people prone to disease. And I think that's something that we're all kind of aware of, but it warrants mention here again. The energy of thoughts affect the cells by altering the chemicals that make up the cells, that nourish the cells, and that communicate with the cells. Support your body and well-being by choosing to think positive thoughts. So let's talk about how one can elevate their positive energy. First and foremost, in your mind, I want you to imagine two poles of energy. It's like a temperature gauge, I would say, like on your water faucet. Both ends are water. Only one end is hot and the other one is cold. Let's apply that to energy. On the high end is the positive, high vibrating energy that causes everything in that area of your life to be going smoothly. On the low end is the negative, low vibrating energy that causes everything in that area of your life to be a series of problems and struggles. Whenever you find yourself in a situation you don't like, mentally elevate your energy as high as your beliefs will allow toward the high end of the spectrum. The more you do this, the more you'll elevate your vibration, gradually changing your beliefs and therefore gradually changing your circumstances. And I know, again, this takes a lot of work and a lot of it requires conscious effort because we are humans. And after, I would say, 20 years or more of being indoctrinated into a very specific type of thinking, it's hard to just kind of flip the switch and all of a sudden you're happy and full of sunshine every day when that has not necessarily always been your experience. But it does take a lot of effort on your part, but it's worth the effort. The other question I think I wanted to ask in this discussion is, have you been paying enough attention to your spirit? Many of us are mind-driven. We make most of our decisions based on logic and on critical thinking. But logic and critical thinking aren't always the best option. When we apply them, we start to believe that there isn't enough to go around and we become fiercely competitive. This leads to a path of anxiety, depression, and self-destruction. But when you switch to a more spirit-driven lifestyle, you start to see the truth that the universe is kind and full of abundance. You understand that there's more than enough to go around. If you can embody that thought, like completely, then it will shift your thinking. And then your experience of life will be very different. It may be more uplifting, more joyful. Maybe it feels a lot lighter. And at that point, when you kind of, you know, change your mindset, then you realize that there are incredible opportunities all around you. So learning to, I would say, embody a spirit-driven lifestyle can truly enhance your life. And this is something I think sometimes is left out of the conversation of not just positive thinking. Sometimes I think out of metaphysical circles, and I'm guilty of this as well. I'm knowledgeable about it, but I'm guilty of not doing what I preach at times, of course. It's important to find, not necessarily quote-unquote scripture, maybe not necessarily a text, but a series of philosophical beliefs that you can return to over and over and over again as a daily meditative practice to help shift your thinking, to retrain your mind. Spirituality is really about unlearning what you've learned. That's the path of enlightenment. And when you begin to break down the information that you've been spoon-fed your entire life, when you can attack that piece by piece by piece on a daily basis, that helps you to open up to a new way of thinking. And that takes so much effort, but it takes daily effort because, again, we've already been created from our family and our situations that we've experienced, and thus most of us, because most of our situations have been very negative, that's our go-to thought. We think about the worst thing that can happen to us. We think about not being able to find a way to pay those bills. We worry about not being able to pay our rent. We worry if we take this step, then we're going to not have enough here. We worry if we don't get, you know, that raise, then whenever, you know, it's because we weren't good enough and we never have been, etc. And the only way to truly attack and chip away at those thoughts, to kind of shift it into a more positive energy, is to find, and it's not necessarily a text, that's not necessarily what I'm trying to advocate here, but some sort of philosophical beliefs or quote unquote scriptures or whatever works for you that, again, you can return to and reread and reread and reread and meditate and reread, and then apply the principles in your life on a daily basis and be mindful of that. That's really taking down those walls that block you from really being able to see. That's important. And then when you can see and learn anew, you will then learn that the universe is unlimited. This, you know, switch to a spirit-driven lifestyle will help you to see that, yes, the universe is indeed kind. Yes, it is full of abundance. Yes, that there's more than enough for us to go around. Why are we worrying about the worst case scenario? Yes, we are supported, etc. Went off on a tangent, but I thought that was really important to mention. Now we're going to discuss a few ways to project positive energy. I think that almost everybody knows someone who radiates positivity. They are the ones who naturally draw others in and make people feel at ease. While it may be effortless for some to channel that whole peaceful outlook, for others it really does take practice, especially a daily practice, and there's nothing wrong with that. Everything that you've been through in life has been an opportunity for learning. It's just that most of us learn through fear and pain as opposed to love. So the energy that you give off, it not only determines your interactions with other people, it also speaks to how you're feeling about yourself. It's one of those skills that's definitely worth practicing. When you begin to shift your mindset, you'll start to witness all sorts of amazing opportunities that come your way, and you'll start feeling a whole lot lighter as well. So let's talk about specific ways to channel that positive energy from the inside out. First and foremost, make yourself a priority. If you feel good about yourself, it'll be much easier to project that inner contentment into the world. Look after yourself and make it a habit to do those little self-care things that make you feel good. It will actually make a big difference in the way you carry yourself. Second, remember, and this is a really important thing to mention, remember what is fact and what is an actual thought. Right now, we're spirits, yes, but we're having a physical experience, so we are human today and tomorrow and the days to come. So we'll have less than flattering thoughts, you know, about ourselves sometimes. What we can do is rewire ourselves to separate fact from thought. A fact would be, I had a difficult conversation with my coworker. And the thought would be, the coworker thinks differently of me now. Focusing on the fact helps keep things in perspective and prevents you from manifesting those negative thoughts. So this is a question that I feel can be incorporated daily. Whenever you're having a very intense interaction with somebody, uncomfortable situation at work, family, relationship, what have you, again, discern the difference between what is a fact and what is a thought. The next thing that you can do to project your positive energy is to be kind to yourself. When you're feeling down, recognize and, yes, honor your thoughts, but try and be kind to yourself. Whether this means reciting your favorite mantra over and over again, or making an effort to treat yourself with some sort of compassion, just like you would a friend. This is so interesting. So I had a discussion with an old coworker, and he had reached out to me talking about how sad he was. And it was in relation to work, how he felt. He'd been feeling, you know, supported, encouraged, or uplifted. And it was funny. We had this very long conversation about it. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm always the one to give that to other people. And I told him, I said, well, if you think everybody else deserves it, what makes you think that you don't deserve to give it to yourself? I don't think we speak enough in this culture about self-compassion. And I'm not talking about victimization. There are two different conversations, but self-compassion. And that's loving ourselves enough to give ourselves a break. This is a tough journey for most, and we're constantly bombarded with situations that force us to learn lessons. Sometimes we don't learn them, and they have to come again. So it's really complex. But love yourself to know that, hey, I made that mistake. I won't make it again. You know, or I said something I shouldn't have, but forgive yourself for it and apologize and then move forward. The next thing that you can do to project that positive energy is to use positive words. It is important to say that you are grateful for something. I think acts of gratitude help us remember what we have. So instead of looking at the lack, we can instead shift our mindset to acknowledge the abundance that we have. It's also important, again, to change the words that you're using in certain circumstances. So, number one, if you are at work and they're forcing you to take some sort of new training or certification, then instead of griping, it would be really useful and beneficial for you to change your mindset and utilize maybe a phrase such as, oh, I'd love to learn. I'd love to learn that. Even though the part of you that really doesn't want to learn it is probably very loud and strong, diminish that voice and override it with the power of your spirit. Now, the way we communicate directly impacts the energy that we give off. So using words such as love, happy, even words, you know, such as solution, like, you know, having a solution-based, form of communication is probably very uplifting. Even using maybe a word such as security, joy, etc., these are going to channel a more cheerful outlook for you. another thing, another action that you can take to, I would say, embody positive energy is to smile more. And yes, this is a small action, but it can make a big difference. Even if the smile isn't all that genuine at first, eventually you'll start to feel better. And at times you may even become friendlier. And for some people, it may appear that you're more outgoing to others. And then that will attract the positive energy that maybe you've been looking for. The next thing that we can do in general is to see others in a flattering light. When you're speaking with someone, think of the things you love or appreciate about them. They'll feel the positive vibes you're directing towards them. They'll channel that same energy themselves and maybe even reflect it back towards you. Another thing I wanted to mention here is that it's important for us to live in the moment. Put your phone away when you're grabbing lunch with a friend, or turn off the TV when you're cooking yourself a nice meal. Distractions prevent us from living in the moment and savoring even the most seemingly mundane tasks. It's important to mention generosity as well. Being more generous will help you actually be more positive. Some examples are, number one, tip your waiter if you're out at a restaurant. Tip them more. Hold the door open for someone who's behind you. Offer to help one of your friends with some sort of task. Surprise your boyfriend, girlfriend by doing something around your house or apartment extra. Leave a kind note for like a friend or a coworker. All in all, when you're generous to those around you, you'll notice a definite shift in the atmosphere and in the energy that you attract. Another way to project positive energy is to practice good faith. And this isn't about religion. It's about knowing that the energy you give off is what you will attract. If someone upset you, don't lash out. Take the time that you need to calm down and constructively address it, or step aside and refocus your attention. Giving compliments is another way to project that positive energy. Showing you appreciate someone serves two purposes. It makes them and you feel good, and we all deserve those feelings. Start acknowledging when someone does something you admire and compliment them to create an instant boost in your mood, and it will obviously create a positive boost in their mood. And the last thing I wanted to say about this is, and I think it's important to mention, is everyone should be working towards accomplishing a goal. And this is very biased because I think I've become the queen of having a million goals every year. But I think having a goal is very, it's very uplifting. It's very positive, at least at the start of it. If we know that there's something that we want to accomplish, then there's a lot of excitement with that. It's a very positive feeling. And I think everyone most likely probably has some sort of goals in life, whether it's, you know, whether you're at a stage of your life where, oh, my goal is to go to school, my goal is to get this promotion, my goal is to buy a house, my goal is to buy a new car, my goal is to write a book, what have you. All of that invokes, I would say, a strong positive reaction. Working towards and achieving your goals is a massive confidence booster. Other people around you will pick up on your empowerment, because also I think that's what it is, and they'll see that you value and that you believe in yourself and your dreams, and that's inspiring for other people. And so if you're going after what it is that you want, whatever it is, and you're driven towards it, and it makes you feel uplifted and excited, if other people around you see that, that's going to make them want to, you know, go for it as well. And so then you have kind of that ripple effect. Positive energy, it's contagious. When you constantly take in the positive energy from your surroundings, it will be visible to the outer world. A lot of this, I think, is very redundant information for most of us, especially people who study, you know, or read anything that's self-help or have been in this new thought community for a long time. But I think in a personal sense, just because I know I'm surrounded by people who are very unhappy at their job, or because they have personal resentment because they didn't go after a goal or they didn't try or what have you, I think it's almost some sort of, I don't even know the appropriate word here, but a lot of people feel it. Let's just say that it's a common feeling. And even though this is a very dated, quote unquote, conversation to have, it's still super important because there is a reason why a majority of the planet has invested its thinking into this whole negative realm. Now I want to shift the entire conversation to a certain degree to talk to you a little bit about the brain and positive thinking. I think for some people who really don't like any of this self-help work, they are less inclined to try any of these things. However, if you can link it to some sort of scientific research, then a light bulb goes off, and then they're more inclined to believe that, oh, this actually maybe works and it's actually true. So I thought it was super important to have this conversation today. So let's talk about having what we call a happy brain. Number one, and I found this when I was researching these past couple of weeks. I thought, this is great. I didn't know this, and now I know, so now I'll share it. Happy brains are more creative, they're quicker, and they're more mentally alert. If you want to be happy the rest of your life, make sure you keep your brain happy. And why is this? Because being happy matters more to your brain than you might think. In fact, feeling pleasure can be so stimulating for your brain that it is primed to respond to pleasure in a way that reinforces pleasure. Your brain offers rewards to steer you on a pathway to happiness, and you can offer your brain rewards that will encourage it to become even more finely tuned and to grow well into your old age. Here are other reasons why you want to have a happy brain. First, negative mood variance disturbs your interaction with your environment, affects your ability to perceive, remember, and reinforce existing or create new neural connections, while being happy improves your ability to be more cognitively alert and productive. Now listen to this. Being happy also stimulates the growth of nerve connections. I know we're getting scientific here, but again, this is super important information. It improves cognition by increasing mental productivity. It improves your ability to analyze and think, affects your view of surroundings, increases attentiveness, and leads to more happy thoughts. So again, happy people are more creative, they solve problems faster, and they tend to be more mentally alert. So let's talk about the power of positive thoughts. I'm going to be throwing out a lot of scientific terms here about the brain, so stick with me. I will sum it up at the end so that it really can be digestible and accessible. As we are all aware, your thoughts form your character, how you operate in the world, and how far you travel mentally, physically, and even spiritually. You are what you think you are, and all of your actions proceed from thought. Your inner thoughts will always be reflected in your outer circumstances because self-generated changes in your life are always preceded by changes in the way you think about something. So as far as your brain is concerned, every thought releases brain chemicals. Being focused on negative thoughts effectively saps the brain of its positive forcefulness. It slows it down and can go as far as dimming your brain's ability to function, even creating depression. On the flip side, thinking positive, happy, hopeful, optimistic, joyful thoughts decreases cortisol and produces serotonin, which creates a sense of well-being. This helps your brain function at peak capacity. Happy thoughts and positive thinking and positive energy, really, in general, supports brain growth as well as the generation and reinforcement of new synapses, especially in what's called your prefrontal cortex, which serves as the integration center of all of your brain-mind functions. In other words, your prefrontal cortex not only regulates the signals that your neurons transmit to other brain parts and to your body, but it allows you to think about and reflect upon what you are physically doing. So in particular, the prefrontal cortex allows you to control your emotional responses through connections to your deep limbic brain. It gives you the ability to focus on whatever you choose and to gain insight into your thinking processes. The prefrontal cortex is the only part of your brain that can control your emotions and behaviors and help you focus on whatever your goals are that you elect to pursue. It helps you grow as a human being, changes what you wish to change, and helps you live the life that you decide. We're going to talk now about why optimism leads to, of course, greater happiness. Neuroscientists have, I would put quotes around this, recently discovered that people who have a more cheerful disposition and are more prone to optimism generally have higher activity in their left prefrontal cortex. Let me give you another explanation for this, because that's a brain explanation. Behavioral scientists have observed fascinating differences between optimists and pessimists. Optimism involves highly desirable cognitive, emotional, and motivational components. Optimistic people tend to have better moods. They tend to be more persevering and successful, and they tend to experience better physical health. One factor may be simply that optimists attribute good events to themselves in terms of permanence, citing their traits and abilities as the cause. And they cite bad events as being transient or the fault of other people. Additionally, optimists lead happy, rich, fulfilling lives. They spend the least amount of time alone, and they actually spend a lot of time socializing. They have good relationships, they have better health habits, they have stronger immune systems, and they live longer than pessimists. On the flip side, pessimistic people explain good events by citing transient causes, such as moods and effort, and they cite bad events as permanent conditions, and they, usually use words such as always or never. Pessimists automatically assume setbacks are permanent, pervasive, and they're due to personal failings. I think that rings true for a lot of us. They are 8 times more likely to be depressed than optimists. They perform worse at school and at work, and they have rockier interpersonal relationships. And they tend to die earlier than optimists. According to a researcher at the University of California, unhappy people spend hours comparing themselves to other people, both above and below themselves on the happier scale. Happy people don't compare themselves with anyone, or at least they don't have a tendency to. The good news is that you can use your mind to train your brain to kind of tamp down the negative thoughts that lead to pessimism while ramping up the types of positive thoughts that lead to optimism. You can be the master of what are called neuronal changes that will lead to greater happiness. And the rewiring, I would say the rewiring of your brain, starts in those teensy miracles known as your brain cells, or neurons. Even if depression runs in your family, you have the capability of improving the way your brain functions, of setting up neuronal roadblocks, and diminishing those neuronal patterns that are linked to negative thinking. You may not be able to eradicate a genetic disposition towards depression, but you can greatly reduce its impact and its reoccurrence. Let's talk a little bit more about negative thinking here. Negative thinking slows down your brain coordination. Negative thinking makes it difficult to process thoughts and find solutions. Feeling frightened, which often happens when we focus on negative outcomes, feeling frightened has been shown to decrease activity in your cerebellum, which slows the brain's ability to process new information, limiting your ability to practice creative problem solving. Additionally, the fear factor impacts your left temporal lobe, which affects your mood, your memory, and even your impulse control. Your frontal lobe, particularly your prefrontal cortex, decides what is important according to the amount of attention you pay to something and how you feel about it. Thus, the more you focus on negativity, the more synapses and neurons your brain will create that support your negative thought process. Super important to mention. Your hippocampus provides the context of stored memories, which means the emotional tone and description your mind creates can potentially rewire your brain by creating stronger neuronal pathways and synapses. What you think and feel about a certain situation or even a thing can become so deeply ingrained that you'll have to work hard to dismantle the negative connections and rewire your brain in order to be less afraid, to think positively, to believe that your dreams can come true, and to trust really that all of your efforts will be successful. One of the oldest precepts of neuroscience has been that our mental processes, our thinking, originate from brain activity, that our brain is in charge when it comes to creating and shaping our mind. However, more recent research has shown that it can also work the other way around, that focused, repetitive mental activity can affect changes in your brain's structure, wiring, and capabilities. The actions we take can literally expand or contract different regions of the brain, firing up circuits or tamping them down. The more you ask your brain to do, the more cortical space it sets up to handle the new tasks. It responds by forging stronger connections and circuits that underlie the desired behavior or thought, and weakening the connections in others. Meaning, what you do and what you think, see, or feel is mirrored in the size of your respective brain regions and the connections your brain forms to accommodate your needs. So what does this mean? What does all of this mean? It means that what we think, what we do, and what we say, it matters. It means that it affects who we become on the outside, the inside, and even in our brain. Mostly, it means that you can retrain your brain to be more positive. And you can do this by thinking happy thoughts, by looking on the brighter side, and refocusing your brain when negative thoughts begin to occur. Your mind has the ability to determine how your brain thinks about what happens in your life. So use it to your own advantage to reframe events and think positively. The last thing I wanted to mention here, and I'm definitely no scientist, admittedly, but I think it's super important to talk about something called neuroplasticity. The reason I'm talking about this is because I've recently, when I was doing this research about how positive thinking affects the brain and what scientists have found, there was this major topic of neuroplasticity that was included in various conversations, and it does warrant mentioning here. So let me define this for you. Neuroplasticity is what we call the brain's ability to change itself in response to things that happen in our environment. Scientists used to believe that our brains were hardwired at birth, but now they know that we can actually change them. So neuroplasticity is a relatively new scientific discovery, and it shows that our brains are not hardwired like computers, as was once thought, but they are more, and I'll put quotes around this, malleable. This means that our thoughts can change the structure and the function of our brains, and that by doing certain things, exercises, most likely using different types of language with ourselves, etc., we can actually physically increase our brain's strength, size, and even density. So neuroplasticity is a series of, I guess you could even say, miracles that are happening in our cranium. This means that we can teach ourselves the skill of happiness and train our brains to be, I would say, cool or awesome. And age is no limitation here. Neuroplasticity shows that our minds are designed to improve as we get older, which is in complete opposition to what we've all been told, of course, right? As a child, we were all told that, well, the brain deteriorates as you get older. And in some cases, that is true. A lot of this information, of course, is subjected to, I would say, your genetics. So that is also a major part of this conversation, but neuroplasticity is a thing. What's interesting to mention here is that most people think that their brain is in charge of them. However, it almost seems like, given this new research, we are kind of in charge of our brain and what we do. Any exercises that we implement can actually, I guess, affect and change the structure of our brain in some degree, whether the size or strength, what have you. So neuroplasticity is quite remarkable. What neuroscientists know is that what we do, or almost everything that we do, all of our behavior, our thoughts and emotions, they actually physically change our brains in a way that is supported by changes in the brain chemistry or the function. And neuroplasticity is a constant feature of the very essence of human behavior. Although I don't know the specifics of how this works, I can say that because of this information from this community, a lot of people in the self-help community took this information and applied it to things like positive and negative thinking and how that affects us, and also applied it to the thought that, well, we are actually in charge of our brain and not the other way around, meaning that we have the ability to affect change at the level of the mind. And one way that this community has advocated to do that is, of course, through what? Affirmations. And I think that, again, I wanted to just throw this into the conversation because when I was researching about this, I thought, well, how do affirmations then affect the brain? Obviously, I'm not the only person who came to this conclusion or has asked this question. The metaphysical community at large has also jumped on this bandwagon in a sense that they kind of offer some ways to kind of retrain the mind or some sort of brain training packages to help people with invoking, you know, positive thinking and getting rid of negative thinking, right? And again, it's through repetition. It's through repeating affirmations. But does this work? Is this the same thing at the neural level? I personally don't know. I don't think that there's been a lot of evidence to show, or a lot of studies conducted to show, that it really works. On the flip side, I wanted to give you guys a different example in the medical field, which I think is important because if in the metaphysical community we assume that repeating affirmations will bring us to positive, you know, just being a very positive, happy person after, you know, repetition, maybe think again. For people whose lives have been affected by, let's say, having a stroke, neuroplasticity is not that easy. For example, if somebody is recovering from a stroke, it's gonna take them an exceedingly long time to recover the use of some part of their body. So let's say, for example, that they need to recover the use of their arm. They've lost the feeling in their arm. Well, they're going to need to move that arm tens of thousands of times before it begins to learn new neural pathways to do that. If it takes all that time to remap the neural pathways, then how long does it take for the mind to remap neural pathways? When you've attempted, or when you are in the process of attempting to shift your thinking from being negative thinking to positive thinking. Now, I'm not negating the power of affirmations here. I think that they do work, but of course, there's that level of belief that is one of the crucial elements of the recipe, right? However, I think this is a really important question to ask yourself, because if a situation, some sort of medical event happens and you suffer some sort of stroke or some sort of medical event, and let's say it is a stroke and you've lost the use of some part of your body, it does take tens of thousands of attempts to remap those neural pathways to use it again. And you can liken that to when you're attempting to shift your thinking from negative to positive. It's almost like your mind has to find a new way. It has to adapt. And I think that that also changes the structure of your brain over time. But also, what's crucial to say here is that it's not an overnight sensation, right? It takes a long time to do this. The positive aspect of neuroplasticity is the simple fact that we now know that our brains are not hardwired at birth. And this applies to us how? Well, this means that even though maybe since birth you were a negative thinker and you possess a lot of negative energy, it's not stuck. Our thoughts, these new thoughts that we're trying to embody, they can change the function of our brain. They can change not just the structure, but also the function of our brain. Therefore, when you are really trying to shift how you see the world, then it will affect you at the level of the mind. But again, you have to practice daily. That's super important. So good news, you're not stuck with the brain that you're born with. Even though you've been given certain genes, what you do in your life with your brain as you grow affects the changes that will happen in your brain. And that, we can say, is the magic wand. Neuroplasticity allows you to change your life and, I would say, make that happiness a reality. So you can go from being a victim to a victor. It's almost like a superpower in a way, and I'm not delusional that there's no such thing as an overnight change, right? But hard work, you know, conscious effort at changing something is what's necessary here. You guys, I really hope that this conversation has been helpful. Again, I'm not a scientist, but I did my research on this week, and it was very informative and helpful. And I think it also is supportive of the fact that we do have the ability to change things at the level of the brain. And once we become more positive and project that positive energy that I spoke about earlier in this conversation, it'll help us on our way, on our pathway to becoming a more positive thinker and having more positive experiences, and then thus having a happy brain. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast this week. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. Thanks.